And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 741. Continuing our team-by-team previews, get you ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. We head to Milwaukee to talk Brew Crew baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers, a young team that every year it seems like there's someone's getting traded or whatnot, and they continue to contend. Maybe it's the division, who knows? But they keep plugging away. They either trade or they lose via free agency, something along the way. And we'll talk about that more for all your fantasy baseball needs. In order to help me break this down, he's the co-host of In the Cut Fantasy. He's already booked his opening day main event draft. He is a draftaholic, I would like to say, and I respect the heck out of it. And you can find him on Twitter at Pile of Dial. John Fish, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing well, Bubba. I'm happy to talk a little baseball tonight. It's been single-digit weather here for the last couple days, and I'm sick of it. I'm happy we got spring training baseball. By the time everybody's listening to this, it's already been going on, but I'm excited to get into some Brew Crew baseball talk.
Yeah, the weather, I've been watching via the news and just people tweeting out their temperatures, and it's like, that is just miserable. And it's like I said, like, you've lived in Wisconsin for a long time, and I think I probably told you before, but a good friend of mine lived there, and I said, I understand snowbirds now. Like, Wisconsin's beautiful. It's amazing for like 7 to 8 months. And there's a chunk where I'm just like, nope. No, not doing it. Not doing it. So I commend you all, but that's how you guys are born and raised. You're almost like used to it now. That's just kind of like the way it goes. But as you get older, not as fun anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get cracking on this. Before we go talking players here, I'm going to ask you, what were your thoughts on how 2024 ended up for the Brewers?
I mean, it's just another typical Brewers baseball season. They win the division. They look good in the regular season, but they don't do enough at the trade deadline, and they can't compete with the top teams. So they get beat right away in the playoffs, and it happens year in and year out. They've been the beneficiary of having just a terrible division for a few years now. The Cubs were supposed to be good last year. They just underperformed. St. Louis is obviously in a downswing. Pittsburgh is not quite there yet. Maybe this year they are, but obviously they weren't last year. And then the Reds are, kind of just that middling team right now, I feel like. And so the Brewers have been able to take advantage of that with their elite bullpen and, just their scrappy play. They're, elite defensively, and they close to leading the majors in steals, and they create runs. They're very well coached, and so they've been able to take advantage of that. And I don't know. We'll see what that brings for this year. But, that's kind of how I feel, how they've been able to win the division so recently.
And it feels like I can already, like, see where we're going to go at the end of the show. I ask you for your prediction like I ask every guest. It's like this team feels the same as every year when we talk about it. Like I said, they lose some guys. They refill it with some other guys. But there's still, like, these holes we want to talk about. And this roster is very similar to that, as usual, but a little different. Mm-hmm. So, let's get into it. We'll start at the highlight right out the gate, and that's Jackson Chourio, who in the age 20 rookie season goes 21-22 with the .275 average. Now, there was a point at midseason they were talking about, he was platooning. Do they need to send him to AAA? Like, there is those discussion points. And then, God forbid, a young player with talent, gets to work on things and just second half of the gods. In OCs over the last couple of, 16 drafts, ADP is around 17 right now. Where are you sitting on Jackson Chourio for his sophomore season?
Yeah, those the first couple months last year were not good, but I'm glad they kind of let him work through it. They didn't send him back down. He did lose a little bit of playing time, but I think that's just give him a day here and there and just try to, do anything they can to get him to get a spark and get him going. And obviously that worked out well, and he got that spark, and he was ridiculous over the second half of the season. And I'm all in. I think he's just getting started. He's nowhere near what his ceiling is going to be. I don't think he'll even be there with this year, but I think he's a legit 30-30 candidate. He's going to hit in a prime spot in the lineup. He's going to hit for a good average. So I'm definitely all in on Jackson Chourio.
You and me both, my friend. I am trying to get him everywhere I can. It's just very difficult because you guys got to draft at the end of the round. Like, that's just like when your KDS gets set, otherwise there's zero chance of getting them. And depending on your draft, you might have to take him in the first round. Like I said, that ADP is around 17, and you've seen it probably as well as I have. Like, just for instance, he's gone anywhere from 13th to 24th right now in OC. So if you want him, you got to go get him. That's for darn sure. But, you know, what a gift that would have been if you had the number one pick and he fell to 24, like, to your pick. Like, my God, you go Jackson Chariot at that point. But that's OC's in a nutshell for those that play those. Just craziness. I'm with you. I think maybe we don't see the full ceiling here, but, like, I keep saying he's like the next Ronald Acuna type. Like, this guy could literally turn into a 40-40 guy probably someday. Like, his talent level is ridiculous. Maybe he doesn't run as much. Maybe he does. Who knows? But the power of the hit tool is insane. So, for a 20-year-old to do that, it's remarkable. So,
yep, absolutely. I think the stolen base is just the team philosophy.
That's true. Yeah,
and his speed, those two together, is just going to be. I mean, I'm not surprised at all if he steals 40 bases this year. You know, he stole over 40 in the minors last year or 2 years ago. So, when is the big power going to come? Obviously, you usually see the big power seasons a little bit later in your career. You know, and he's obviously still very young. So maybe he only gets 25 home runs this year, 30. But in the future, I can definitely see a 40-40 season.
For sure. All right, we're going to flip the script here from a 20-year-old. We're going to go to a 33-year-old veteran with a bad back in Christian Yelich, who played 73 games last year, still had 11 homers and stole 21 bags, hit .315. Like, he was having a great year, but the injury just had enough of him. He had surgery. It's been fun watching the chatter. Like, the GM and everything said, he's, you know, not ramped up yet. It's going to take some time. And then Yelich comes out the next day and goes, no, I'm fine. Like, we're good. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to take batting practice right now, which is just par for the course for some of these teams. But where are you at on Yelich? Like, I love the talent. The back scares me. Apparently, the procedure, I've actually heard from a couple of people that have had the procedure. They're not professional athletes, for one. But they said it's, like, a pretty easy one to come back from type thing compared to other back surgeries. Time will tell. But when you're talking about Christian Yelich, his ADP is still 110. So you're not getting a massive discount. So what are you thinking on him for this season?
I'm in on Yelich as well again this year. I think you're getting a decent discount because of the back issue. Where would he go if he didn't have the back issue? I guess is kind of what I'm getting.
Well, I guess
he's got an elite batting average.
Yeah, if he played all season, he's probably top 70 pick. Yeah, something like that. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm in on him. Obviously, you got to be a little concerned about the back, but the fact that he finally got the surgery done, I'm happy about that. And he's, like you said, he's back and hitting in spring training and stuff like that. So, I'm in. He's got obviously an elite walk rate, strikeout rate. I was very happy to see the strikeout rate come back down again last year. Because, you know, for a while there, a few years ago, it got a little bit out of control. But he was back under 20% last year. The barrel rates are just not there, and he hits a lot of ground balls. So I don't think we're going to see those big home run seasons anymore, like he had a few years ago. But as long as his back is feeling okay, I don't see why he wouldn't run. And again, this team likes to run. So I could see like a 15 to 20 home run season and, you know, 25, 30 steals as long as he's able to stay on the field.
Yeah. The fact he hit 21 stolen bases last year, dude, like, it's a testament to the philosophy of the team with a bad back, still pulls that off. And you basically hit where I was going to go with that. I said, I could see him, if they even play it easy, like, just they play like 120 games. We're going to give you extra days off, like, keep things good. It's a 15-25 skill set with an elite batting average. Like, to me, the risk of the injury, but if he plays, like, what's the difference between him and, like, Michael Harris? And you're getting him such a discount compared to Michael Harris. Like, maybe Harris on a good year goes, you know, 25-25 someday, who knows? But, you know, you get a massive discount on Yelich, who I think is pretty darn talented as well. So,
yeah.
Yep, with you there. All right, a player that's my favorite in the game, pretty much, it's King William Contreras. And even Milwaukee has embraced that. I saw them tweet out King William. Like, they've embraced this. This is great. Not for me, folks. I'm not taking any credit for that at all. I'm just some guy schmuck that talks on a microphone. But William Contreras goes 23 homers, 9 steals last year, .281, just continues to hit for a great batting average according to catcher standards and almost every standard. Almost scored 100 runs last year, which is insane to think about from a catcher. Got to pay for it, though. ADP's 23 right now. He's gone as high as 13 in an OC recently. That's a little too rich for me. But the 23, end of the second, early third round pick, are you in on that for William?
I'm not. But I did have a lot of William Contreras last year. I think he's arguably their best hitter. I think he's got, a say there. He plays almost every day. So I understand why he goes there. I really do. I just can't take a catcher in the second round. It's just something I don't know. I just can't do it. I cannot get myself to do it. So, I'm out on the price, but I'm not going to be surprised at all if he repeats this. He's right in his prime. I do like the fact that he steals bases too. He gets some stolen bases from a catcher. That's always nice in fantasy. A lot of ground balls, which is, it's not always the worst thing. As long as, when you're hitting it in the air, you're hitting it hard. I don't know. He's like one of the rare five category catchers. Like, you just don't see that very often. So, again, I understand why he goes where he does in drafts, but I've just not been able to pull the trigger there.
Yeah, same page. Like, I've had a lot of shares the last 2 years. I've been he was a catcher 2 years ago. I was all excited for it. I didn't mind the price this past year, but I'm with you. The way I draft, it's just not in my repertoire to pull the trigger at that point of a draft for a catcher. But then, like, the points you make, I've had the conversations with Ryan and some others. It's like, he is a five-category guy. Does that differentiate? Like, there's so many parts to it, and some of these statistical guys, they'll point out, like, the value of that for a catcher is worth it. But I'm like, I'm with you. I just can't do it. It's, my brain will not allow me to do that. So, yeah, I think he'll be great. But, yeah.
I'll say this, though. Like, in a 15-team league, it kind of gets that back half of the second round is
– it's nasty.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of those guys that are there shouldn't be there.
Yes.
So it does make sense to take Contreras over them. And maybe that's something I need to look into doing. I still have plenty of drafting to do. So, but yeah, I do agree. Other guys that are going in that second half of the second round, it is, Ketel Marte just had a career year. Like, can he repeat that? Who knows? All stats back it up, the underlying stats, but, there's just a lot of guys there that had a career year in. So I guess I can definitely see again why Contreras goes there.
Yeah, and a 15-team, 30 catchers goes. So getting that elite guy might be even – like, there's definitely more arguments for it there. And like you mentioned, that if people haven't done a 15 yet, just go look at just a draft board. It's not great. Like, I prefer to be in the back end of the first round if I can in that situation.
Oh, me too.
all right, let's talk Garrett Mitchell. This is a guy I know we talked about last year. Then he broke his hand in spring training. That kind of just derailed things overall. Still finished 8 homers, 11 steals, hit .255 in 69 nice games. Right now he's projected to hit cleanup, which I'm not sure I trust that. Maybe if he does, I think that's awesome, but you'd have a better feel on that. I just love the skill set. I'm a big fan of Garrett Mitchell. His ADP is like 264 right now. It just comes down to playing time, and if they're going to give it to him in back cleanup, I think that's an amazing price tag. But what do you think on him?
Yeah, it's kind of a common theme with the Brewers offense. I like him for fantasy because he's going to steal a lot of bases. Now he strikes out a lot, so it's gonna be tough to have him hit any kind of an elite batting average. So, can he hit lefties? Where is he? If he's gonna be in the lineup against lefties, where is he gonna be in the lineup? I wouldn't expect him to hit cleanup against lefties, but yeah, he's had just a lot of injury issues over the years, which is disappointing because he just needs. Just needs to get in a groove. I mean, baseball's all about getting in a groove, and he just can't seem to string together multiple months of play. So hopefully that can happen this year. And if it does, he's had some big clutch hits for the Brewers, and we've seen some glimpses of the power. And again, the stolen bases are going to be, they're going to be there. This team's going to run absolutely wild this year. I think they're going to lead the majors in stolen bases as a team. So, I definitely like Garrett Mitchell at his price. It's a very good price because if he doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. If he gets hurt, it's not the end of the world, especially in a 12 team. If he gets hurt, it's really easy drop. Yep. Plenty of replacement value. So, that's kind of where I am with Mitchell.
Yeah, he's like a fourth or fifth outfielder right now, so it's an easy move on from there, but a potential 2020 guy if things really click, and that's pretty sweet as well. Talking about a guy that likes to strike out quite a bit, but that's better than Mitchell. Reese Hoskins, first season with the Brewers last year after a year off because of ACL surgery, 26 homers, hit only .214, though, which is way off from his norm. How are we feeling on him? He's getting drafted just inside pick 300 right now.
Yeah, I don't have any shares of
him. He won't run, by the way, like the other
Brewers. Yeah, yeah. He's one of the guys that actually will not run. Yeah, I don't have any Reese, but he's that typical power hitter that is going to hit for a low average that you can find almost anywhere in around where he's going. So if you have a nice batting average base built up, you know, you could take him on as your probably a corner infielder. I don't think anybody's drafting him as their starting first baseman. If you are, things have gone pretty bad. So.
That's a rough start.
Yeah. But I mean, if you need power and you need RBIs, you know, he makes sense, but he's a guy that I'm probably not going to have any shares of this year.
Yeah, he used to be – I still like Reese. I've been a big fan of his. Used to have tons of shares. Haven't clicked that button just yet. Mm-hmm. All right, a guy that was an awesome value last year as an MI or even a bench bat as just a speculated pick, Bryce Terang. Ended up stealing 50 bases, 7 home runs at .254. The power is really non-existent, but the speed's undeniable. And the fact he struck out 70% was nice. But now you got to pay for it, ADP of 140. So it's kind of paying for a rabbit at ADP of 140, give or take. What are your thoughts on Bryce Terang?
Yeah, I'm out at that price. It's been a pretty easy fade for me. Again, he's going to steal a ton of bases. He also plays gold glove defense, which is going to keep him in the lineup, which is nice. But yeah, the power, there's no power there. RBIs are going to be very, very few of them. So it's just, it's not a profile I like to take at that cost. So I'm going to be definitely out on Bryce Terang.
I'm with you as well. Like, he has to steal 50 bases again to pretty much make that worth it. I'm not banking on that right now. So I'm 100% out as well. Let's talk about your starting shortstop with Willy Adames out of town. The front office basically said Joey Ortiz will be our primary shortstop. We'll talk third base in a minute. But Ortiz came over in that Corbin Burns trade. He's one of the big pieces that came with this. He's only 26. He had 11 homers, 11 steals last year at .239. But he kind of got yo-yoed all over the place. So pick your poison there. Right now his ADP is .327. He's going to gain shortstop eligibility to go with third base. I like the price, honestly, but how are you feeling on Joey Ortiz?
Yeah, I definitely like the price as well. And in draft and hold leagues where you can get a third base and shortstop guy, it's fantastic. You can play him at middle infield, corner infield. I think that he's got an opportunity to break out. He's at that age where sometimes you see some guys break out. And if he just even a little bit improvement, and you're looking at a 15-15, possibly even a 20-20 guy here. Now, I don't know how good he is defensively at shortstop because he's played third base, but we'll see, I guess. But they need to have somebody there. And I saw some people thinking Bryce Terang was going to go to shortstop. Yeah. Maybe that does happen. I don't see that happening because I don't know why you'd move him off second when he's
Cole Glover,
arguably the best defensive second baseman in baseball. And so I think that's the route they're going to go. I think they'd put Ortiz at short. And I definitely like the price. And again, especially in draft and hold leagues where you can have, if you miss out on your corner or even if you miss out on your middle infield, you can draft them and hold them for, 10 games because you'll gain it. But I definitely like the price a lot.
Yep. Simpatico. Let's talk about a couple of platoon situations here. We'll start with the outfield. You got Sal Frelick and Blake Perkins. They'll pretty much platoon one situation. Any fantasy intrigue with either of them?
Nah, I don't have any interest. They kind of remind me a lot of Terang, where you're looking at, you're just looking at a lot of speed, not a whole lot of power. Their prices are obviously a lot better than Terang's price.
Yes.
But I don't know. I'm going elsewhere with in drafts. I just don't have any interest in any of those guys.
All right, now we'll head to third base. When they reported on Ortiz going to shortstop, the front office said it's going to be a competition in spring between former higher-end prospect Tyler Black, and Oliver Dunn, who we kind of know, I think, who Oliver Dunn is, but I could be wrong. I'll even throw Caleb Durbin's name in there, though, because he wasn't even mentioned in those conversations. And I'm like, you just traded for the kid that can play pretty much all over the infield and runs like crazy, which we've talked about theme for the team. So how do you kind of look at that third base situation if you're entering a draft right now? Because I just looked at the OC ADP. Dunn and Black have not been drafted at all. And Durbin's been drafted in 5 of the last 16 drafts, basically an in-game piece. How would you kind of approach that?
Yeah, Durbin's my guy here. They have needed a third baseman. Obviously, you had Ortiz a little bit last year, but with Adames gone and Ortiz going to shortstop, there's a hole there. Black, I could see it. He got a little bit of run last year. He didn't do very well. I don't think you can just completely write him off. Oliver Dunn, I don't think he has any shot. He was horrific with the Brewers last year. Caleb Durbin's easily my pick here. I'm loading up in drafts with Caleb Durbin. Here's a guy who walks more than he strikes out. He's ridiculously fast. He just fits the Brewers mold that they like, where they wreak havoc on the base pass. And that's exactly the type of player he is. Get on base, high walk rate, low Ks, not a ton of power. This Brewers team's not going to have a lot of power, so they're going to have to create runs pretty much every game. And what better way to do that than with a guy who draws a ton of walks and steals a lot of bases? Now, again, defensively, I don't know how good he is defensively. But if he even has somewhat of a decent spring, I don't understand why the other two are even in the mix, to be honest with you. It should be Durbin's job right out of camp.
Yeah, I was so surprised when I read the thing. I'm like, okay, I expected Ortiz to go to short. Okay, cool. And I keep reading the little blurb, and I'm like, did you guys forget about somebody here? Are we just trying to get these other two to get their shit together, basically, and start competing in camp and seeing like if there's anything worth keeping here, basically? That's kind of a lot of the chatter this time of spring is that. It's like, hey, get it going. Like, we need to see if you're actually worth holding on to. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, let's head to the mound. Let's talk about him. Frederick Peralta. Absolutely love Freddie. I know there's some that think they're not as big of fans, and some are like walks can be an issue from time to time. Power can be an issue from time to time. Strikeouts are not a big issue. Then they did kind of stumble a bit, but I won't take away everything from you here. ADPs, 106 for Freddie Peralta. Are we back in?
Yeah, I got a few shares at that price. As bad as everybody thinks he was last year, he still had 200 strikeouts.
Yep.
He's been relatively healthy for a while now. Is he quite as good as everybody thought he was going to be last year? He was going in like the third round of main events and stuff like that, but no. But he's still a good pitcher. Like I think it's a good discount in the draft room right now. So I'm on board with it. I don't want to go overboard with it because there's a lot of pitchers around that area that I really like. So I'm trying to like even out my shares around there. And I'm fine with Freddie's price where he is.
Yeah, I've got a few shares for sure because it's like it depends on how you draft, but like as an SP3, that just is amazing. You have 200K upside, and you never know. Maybe he's never going to be the ace, but if he like makes a little step back to where he once was, like that'd be pretty sweet as well. So I like it. He might get traded for all we know, but I like our Freddie. Now things get a little interesting in the rotation. You got Tobias Myers came in last year. Ratios are very strong. Ratio indicators, not so much. Strikeouts were kind of blah, but super young still. So maybe there's room for growth here. ADP is 298. Where are you at on Tobias Myers?
This is where it gets ugly for me. I'm not a huge fan. His indicators, it looks like he got a little bit lucky. Now part of the reason is because the Brewers defensively are very good. So that does keep me a little bit interested in him. But he's not somebody that I want to rely on week in, week out in my fantasy lineups. If I have him like in a draft champions or something like that, I got no problem with that. Cause I can play some matchups and start him when I want and start him when I, and sit him when I want. But, yeah, he's not really a big target for me at all.
Yeah, he's definitely not a 12-team target. 15, maybe. But yeah, he's more of a streamer for me right now. And maybe he figures it out, but I'm not there at this point in time. New Milwaukee Brewer came over with Caleb Dermott in the Devin Williams trade as Nasty Nestor Cortez. People remember him putting a ball on a tee for Freddie Freeman in the postseason, but still threw 174 innings last year, did have his injury concerns as well. ADP's 260, though. I'll give my thoughts after you, but what are your thoughts on Cortez at that price point and new ball club?
Yeah, he's another guy I got a couple shares of. I love that price. I do have a lot of concerns about his issues with this injury, though. Now, apparently the Brewers did all their due diligence and everything looks fine for him. And, you know, I would think that because they did make that trade that you they do think that everything's fine. So I'm still a little skeptical. So I don't want to have too many shares, but I do like the price where he's going at.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Like I've been grabbing my fair share of Nestor Cortez shares at that ADP. Because again, it's kind of like the other conversation, like Garrett Mitchell, for instance, doesn't pan out. It's an easy drop. Like I was all in on guys like Eduardo Rodriguez and stuff before. Like this seems like a better pick than that. Let's just put it that way. And so there aren't a whole lot of safe picks at this point in the draft, but what we've seen from the like history of Nestor, and if he is healthy, he's definitely better than a pick 260 if he's healthy. So I'll take that getting out of the East. Can't hurt. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot I like about Nestor getting into Milwaukee. Aaron Civale joined the club last year. 161 innings ratios were what they like. He seemed to pitch a little better towards the end of Milwaukee. Is the best way I'll put it. His ADP is 350 essentially. Where are we at on Aaron Civale?
Yeah, I don't have any shares. I had quite a bit last year. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Pitchers, it's a hitter's park. And he just, he was not good for me last year. Let's just put it that way. I'm not a huge Aaron Civale fan this year. I'm avoiding.
Yeah, he's at best a streamer for me. He had his moments last year, but he had a lot more worse moments than good type thing. And I'll just kind of try to stay away from that as much as humanly possible. The fifth spot in the rotation looks like it's going to be Brandon Woodruff to start the year unless something changes. He's apparently healed up, already threw a bullpen that went well, but it better go well if he's throwing a bullpen in spring. There's a lot of positive news in the right direction for Woodruff. If he's not ready, it's probably Aaron Ashby. Let's talk about Woodruff here. We got an ADP of 240, essentially. Are you willing to pay that price with maybe some question marks still out there?
I'm not, and I hate to say it, but Brandon Woodruff's like one of my favorite brewers of all time. I just can't do it. He's going to have innings limit, and I hate messing with pitchers that already have that coming out of the gates because I already know I'm going to take on other injuries. So I don't know. It's the type of pitcher I usually try to stay away from. And as a Brewers fan, I hope that I'm wrong. But give me 120 rock solid innings and I would be happy with that. But for fantasy, for my fantasy teams, I'm avoiding.
Yep. Now, if you don't want to take the risk, it makes total sense. It's one of those, if they were to say, we're going to throw him 130 innings and then just shut him down, like, cool, I'll draft him and then drop him then. But if they do the whole babying like you're kind of talking about, which we've seen with a lot of pitchers, that's where it gets frustrating in a fantasy perspective for sure. So there's Aaron Ashby and DC's maybe. Let's head to the bullpen here because we kind of said it a few times. Devin Williams obviously traded to New York if you live under a rock. That means it's Trevor Miguel's job, pretty much. And Trevor Miguel looked rather formidable while Devin Williams was hurt last year. They went back to a setup role, did his thing. Right now, Trevor Miguel has an ADP of 132. How are we feeling on that?
I think it's his job to start with. You know, whether or not he holds it all year, I think that's another question. I don't know. He just didn't look early on. He looked fantastic. But as the season kind of went along, he just didn't look quite as good. in my eyes. I don't know, just the, you know, the strikeouts weren't quite as much as they were in years past. So, you know, I don't know, 50 strikeouts and 46 and a third innings last year. The year before, he had 52 and 34 and two thirds innings. So, you know, the K rate definitely came down. The surface stats look very good. The ERA and WHIP look very good. And again, I think it is his job to start with. But the BABIP was kind of low. Swing strike was still pretty good. I don't know. He's somebody that I definitely don't want to take as my first closer. I definitely want to have a more sure thing. But again, I hope he does well. He's just probably not going to be on a lot of my fantasy teams.
So, like, say in a DC or something, would you be grabbing like Joel Piamps, or who would you be looking for in that bullpen?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if there's a clear-cut guy because, you know, a lot of people liked Abner Uribe last year.
Remember that fun, yeah.
There's another guy there this year who the surface stats were horrendous, but if you look under the hood, there's a lot to like.
I think I know what you're saying.
Nick Mears?
Yes. DC's baby. Like, that guy's he's a flamethrower.
Yes. Yes. He looks the part, and just it feels like he's one minor adjustment away from being ridiculously elite. So if anybody was to take the closer job eventually, I think it could be him. But yeah, I think it's going to be McGill to start with, and then we'll see how it goes from there.
Yeah, I like hearing you say that, because like in our Discord, like even our buddy Dom was in there and stuff, and we were all trying to, like, when the trade happened, we're like, oh crap, who's it going to be? We were all DC drafting at the time, and everyone was running to, not saying Dom was, because Dom kind of knows the bullpens pretty well. Everyone's running to Piamps, and we're both sitting here going, Mears, anybody? Like, Mears is pretty sweet. Like, when that trade happened last year, it just stood out in such a big way of, yeah, this could pay off pretty nicely when all things are said and done. But all speculating. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Any prospects of notes? It seems like each year you guys have a few guys coming up. We've talked Black, who I don't know if he really counts for that conversation anymore, but is there anybody else we should be keeping an eye on for this year? Because I doubt Jefferson Cuero is taking Williams' job anytime soon, but who knows? Maybe at least first base.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about the same guy last year, Jacob Misurowski. I don't think he's going to be a starter, though. I think he's going to be mostly a bullpen guy, maybe like an inning or two here and there. But he's ridiculously good. I just don't think he has the I don't know what you're trying to say, the longevity or whatever. I don't think he can throw five innings every 5 days, you know. And so I think he's gonna be mostly a bullpen arm. The one guy I will say that I really wish would work out, because he has a ton of power and draws a lot of walks, is Brock Wilkin. 22-year-old third baseman. The problem is he strikes out at alarming rate, so it's going to be very tough for if he's striking out the minors, he's going to strike out even more in the majors. Yeah. So it's you know, if he could ever get that under control, though, he's a massive guy, 6'4", hits a lot of home runs, draws a lot of walks, and he's got the ability to just I don't know, I could see like an Austin Riley in him, kind of, if all things click. But yeah, I mean, I haven't drafted him at all. It's kind of wishful thinking, basically, with him. And yeah, that K rate is definitely an issue, though.
I mentioned his name, and maybe you've heard things in the Brewers circles. What is the plan with Jefferson Cuero, who is a pretty darn good prospect when it comes to catching? But is it just like eventually they're going to move William out and Cuero? Like, what has the rumblings been there? Is it still this kind of hush hush for now? He's in AAA, so there has to be some kind of conversation somewhere about this. Maybe he's trade bait. I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I can't imagine them moving, doing anything with William Contreras. He's still so young. It's not like he's, you know, 29 years old and he needs to move to first base or anything like that. So I don't know what the plan is going to be with Jefferson Cuero. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, it's just one of those, because with Reese struggling, maybe they transition. Who knows? But yeah,
that could be it. And you know, if they want to actually get his bat in the lineup, that could be something that does happen. I'm just looking real quick to see if he played any first base. No, he didn't. He was all catcher last year in the minors. So last couple of years. So yeah, I don't know what their plan is going to be. It's interesting because it's probably not a guy you want to trade. But if you're if you actually want to, if they ever decide to actually go for it, like back in the day when they did with CeCe Sabathia, like I don't know, that would be a perfect trade candidate.
Like if they're in it come the deadline, you want to get Dylan Cease, you probably throw that piece out there and say, hey, bring Cease. Or like, that's just one example, obviously, but like that's the kind of stuff you got to do. So I'm curious because there's a lot of good prospect catchers these days, so a lot of good stuff to go around. All right, last question I have for you. What's your expectations for 2025 for the Brew Crew?
I think this is the year they finally take a step back. I love the offense. I don't love the pitching. The bullpen has always been a strength in years past. I just don't think it is a strength this year. It's not bad. It's not a terrible bullpen, but it's not seven innings. It's not seven inning games anymore, basically, for the Brewers. So, but then again, they always outperform expectations. I will say that they do not win the division.
Okay.
I do think the Cubs, unfortunately, are going to win the division. And I don't know. I'm just hoping the defense and the way they have the ability to create runs can sneak them into the playoffs. But as usual, my expectations in the playoffs are nothing. So
unfortunately, we'll see. Like, their roster right now, and it's another central team, but it reminds me of like the Twins. Like I've always liked the Twins offense in recent years, but you look at the pitching staff, you're like, what are you doing here? Like you have this really good offense and you're just not supporting it with what you need to support it with. And the Brewers kind of feel like that right now. Or a couple of years ago, you still had Burns, you had a healthy Woodruff, you had Peralta coming up. Like you're like, okay, I can work with this. Like we got something here. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And trust me, as a Giants fan, I have no optimism either. So it's okay. But at least you're in the Central where anything can happen.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
But all right, my friend, we're going to wrap it up there. Before we head out, remind everybody where they can find you and what you got coming up. I heard there's a rumor that In This Cup might be coming back for a special episode.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Pile of Dial. Our podcast, we have not really done any recording. There's no real plans to do any recording this year, but we have done some live streams, and we're definitely going to do another live stream opening day morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, main event, and something I do every year. We live streamed it last year, had a good time with it, so we're going to live stream it again this year. There's just something about waking up. It's like Christmas for a kid, like waking up, shower, brush my teeth, like get ready and draft a very important baseball team.
Very important team.
$1,800 team. So yeah, it's exciting. And then, you draft the players and all of a sudden you get results a few hours later. So, so we'll do that on our In The Cut YouTube page.
That'll be sweet. That'll really get people going. You can watch that, and then shortly thereafter, games begin. So that'll be pretty awesome indeed. But appreciate it as always, my friend. Great chatting with you, talking Brewers, and I'll be rooting for them. I always have a spot. And didn't even mention in the entire show, Bobby Uecker, baby. If there's ever a chance for a team that you might think might underachieve, this could be the year. Like, you got Uecker on. Like, God, there's something there, because obviously I don't have to tell you about that man, but if for some reason someone's listening to this show and does not know all about Bob Uecker, just go to YouTube and watch whatever clips come up. Just watch them all. Like, the guy's a legend in a whole different way. But
definitely, all right, is.
We'll wrap it up there. Again, follow John on Twitter at Pile of Dial, and this was Bench with Bubba, episode 741, 2025 Brewers preview. Catch y'all next time.